Well, again, good morning. Let us pray. Lord Heavenly God, may the words in my heart and that the words from Scripture be pleasing unto you, O Lord. May we come together at this time to just share in a moment of learning more about you. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, I don't know about you, but my parents were pretty strict when it came to my schoolwork. One day I came home and I told them that I had been stung by a bee and I got grounded because it wasn't an A. I'm just kidding. My mom's like shaking her head over there like, no, she's not mine. I can see it in her eyes. That's not my kid. But today we're on a journey together. It's going to take us to a concept called being grounded in gratitude. So maybe our word grounded may mean different things for different people. But usually it just means to be stable, someone who has balance. But when I was in school, of course, grounded meant something else altogether. Yeah. I was telling some friends that I went to a school that was a Catholic school in my neighborhood, and most of the time whenever, of course, the teachers and the principal, who was a nun, would come by, my face would be in the corner somewhere with my nose touching the wall because I'd always be in trouble. What can I say? But today we're actually talking about being grounded. I took a trip last week to Seattle, and it was kind of nice when I got there. One of the first things I do is I kick off my shoes. I don't know if you do this when you've traveled, and then you get grounded. It's like you just put your feet in the ground or in the grass. It just kind of grounds you after you've been on a boat or in the car. It's something, a way of just planting ourselves. And so I think that's kind of what it's like when God is talking about us being grounded in gratitude. We're in this series called The Generosity Challenge. It's written by Scott McKenzie and Christine Miller. And one challenge that most of us have is in our spiritual discipline of generosity. So the spiritual discipline is a way we train ourselves in that we mold our characters. Paul talks about it, in 1 Corinthians 9:25 when he says, "Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training." So just like an athlete, we as Christians have to exercise our own spiritual disciplines. Some of these things are, for example, prayer, reading, meditating on Scripture, praying with others, and reading Scripture together. One that I don't like too much, but I try, is fasting. I don't know how many of you do that, but it's difficult at times. Other thing is attending worship and being together, but also just sharing our story with others and our Christ story especially. And then, of course, the communal practice is when we come together and we participate in watching through the sacrament. That's our baptismal font. And, of course, remembering Jesus as he instructed us as we come together at the table in a few moments for the sacrament of Holy Communion. But studying together Scripture in this setting as well as outside the church. So no matter where you are on your faith journey, it's my hope that you will discover a new spirit of holistic generosity and faithfulness and giving throughout the next few weeks. Jesus actually, last week we were talking about how a rich man, he talked to him and he said, "Go and sell all of your possessions and come follow me." And someone after church mentioned, they said, "I thought you only had to give 10%. Why do you have to give all?" I love that. I thought that was great. But he means all of you. He wants all of you, not just money. That's not what generosity is all about. It's about our generous heart. He wants your whole heart. So by engaging in this message series, I'm hoping that you come also to the accompanying Bible study that we've got going on. But we're going to get a GPS, something that's going to direct us to the destination that we're trying to get to, which is closer to Jesus Christ. So the G in GPS is, of course, being grounded in gratitude. And I hope that you may also remember that in the beginning, Jesus created us, or God created us in his image, one and the same, that Genesis 1:27 says, "God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." You see, we were born born with the characteristics of God. And that means that we were born to love and we were born to give. And giving generously out of love is ingrained in who we are, and it comes from us at birth. If you've ever noticed little children, there's so much more giving, and then they hit the terrible twos and it's everything is mine. And from there on, that's where we are. But God created us to be generous. So imagine, if you would, the power in just one word. A word that can improve both your physical and your mental health. It can give you more and better friends. A word that can help you accomplish more and perhaps even earn more. Does such a word exist? Well, yes, it does. And that word is gratitude. You find, if you Google gratitude, there's lots of quotes on gratitude. I came across some. I don't know if you know Willie Nelson, the country music singer. He said, "When I started counting my blessings, my whole life turned around." Oprah Winfrey said, "Be thankful for what you have. You'll end up having more." There's a woman who's a millionaire, and we should take her advice. If you concentrate on what you don't have, she says, you will never, ever have enough, right? Albert Einstein, there are only two ways to live your life, he says. One is through nothing. One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other is as if everything is a miracle. And then the Dalai Lama said, when you are discontent, you always want more, more, more. Your desire can never be satisfied. But when you practice contentment, you can say to yourself, oh, yes, I have everything that I really need. So fortunately, we don't have to just rely on the words of Google or Willie Nelson. Actual research suggests that, yes, gratitude can and will do everything from improve your health to improve your relationships. So gratitude can help you accomplish more, more, more. And it can even make you sleep better. So how many people have problems with sleeping? I do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course. So there's this article that was in Forbes magazine, was about 2014, and they had some benefits of showing gratitude. So I wanted to go through those for you this morning, these seven. So the first is gratitude opens the doors to relationships. Gratitude opens the door to relationships. When we say thank you and we express appreciation to someone we've just met, the person we thank is more likely to seek an ongoing relationship with you. I think that's great. Number two, gratitude reduces aches and pains. How many of you have that? Mm-hmm. Of course. So I heard a little more chuckling there. So people who express gratitude experience, listen to this, fewer aches and pains and report feeling healthier than people who do not express gratitude. So there you go. Don't pop an Advil. Just have more gratitude. Number three, gratitude improves psychological health. According to the writer of Forbes, again, Amy Warren, research confirms that gratitude effectively increases your happiness and reduces depression. So there goes all of those medications as well. So gratitude, number four, reduces aggression and increases our empathy and also our sensitivity towards others. Number five, gratitude helps people sleep better. Number six, gratitude increases our self-esteem and reduces resentments towards people who we perceive as having more. And last but not least, gratitude increases our mental health. So studies indicate that people who are grateful respond to trauma and tragedy with greater resilience and strength. So recognizing that all you have to be thankful for, even during the worst times, fosters resilience. So we're born to be generous. We are all created in this image of God, and a giving God and a loving God. So yes, our love of stuff and our love of things, that can block us from creating a relationship not only with God but with other people. So the way that we eliminate that is, I want to share this story with you. It's in Luke's gospel. So if you have a Bible, you can open that up, and we'll turn to Luke 17. It may also be, yep, there it is. So we're going to look at how this wonderful man who lived here on earth had the ability to heal and energize and change lives. So how can he have changed the life of so many people, but only through one thing, and that was being grounded in gratitude. So listen to the words from the story from Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. It's the story of how Jesus heals, energizes, and changes the lives of 10 lepers. So on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee, and he entered a village with 10 lepers approaching him. Keeping their distance, they called out saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he, Jesus, saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising with a loud voice, and he prostrated himself. He was on the ground, prostrating himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. 10 lepers approached Jesus and asked for mercy and for healing. And all 10 of them are cleansed. But only one leper returns to give thanks. Remember, he was already physically healed. But the difference may not have been significant, but it is. Cleanse refers to physical healing, the removal of leprosy. The leper's faith, though, according to Scripture, and the Message translation says, "Your faith has healed and saved you." So not only did gratitude bring about something more than just a physical cure, gratitude brought healing and wholeness and, dare I say, salvation. So the G in GPS brought the leper home. Through gratitude and his grateful heart, the leper became the person that God created him to be. I want to tell you another story. This is a fictitious name, but it's the story of a successful entrepreneur. Susan would be the first to tell you that I thought I had it all. Susan had a house on the beach and a Mercedes in the garage, and she traveled the world. But then she heard the word that no one wants to hear, cancer. And this wasn't just any cancer. It was a fast-moving, aggressive cancer with limited chance of survival. A cancer survivor from her church sat her down and cried with her and eventually shared her own story of the power of gratitude. And Susan began to re-examine her life and wasn't happy with what she found. She thought her happiness was dependent on all her things. And Susan, with the help of her friend, began a new course of treatment. Instead of chemo, she went after gratitude. And she became thankful to the nurses and the doctors who cared for her. And she was thankful for the drugs that made her sick to her stomach. And she told her friends and her family how much they each meant to her. And she filled her heart with gratitude every day of her life. And thanks to her friends and her doctors and the newest of drugs, Susan beat this cancer. And she would tell you that the real difference, the real source of her healing was gratitude. And she told her friends, "Even if cancer had beaten me, I knew that gratitude had already made me a winner." So why gratitude? When we practice gratitude, we acknowledge that everything we have is a gift. And when everything is a gift, we don't have to cling to it. And when everything is a gift, we can let go of the stuff that just doesn't define us. There's a young man who created a very successful business, literally from the ground up. So during high school, he started working long, hard hours. After graduation, he worked even longer and harder. He became a huge success. Eventually, he bought his own plane and went out to job site, visiting people. He loved his plane. It was a symbol of success, a reminder of all that he created with his two hands. Then during a church-wide study on gratitude and generosity, He came to realize that everything he owned was a gift from God. Let me repeat that. Everything you have is a gift from God. His business and his beloved plane. At one moment during the study, he decided to sell the plane and give the money away. And he described that moment as the most freeing moment in his life. So my question for you this week is this. What do you believe about gratitude and stuff? Do you believe all you have and all that you are is a gift from God? Be honest with yourself. Do you intentionally practice and cultivate these spiritual practices and hold an attitude of gratitude? Do you have a prized possession? Can you ever imagine selling it or getting rid of it? Have you ever experienced the power of gratitude? Throughout the next week, the G in GPS, I want you to be reminded, is gratitude. And next week, we're going to come together, and the P is prayer. So choose gratitude. And yes, you, each and every one of you, you were born to be generous. Yes, we're all created in the image of God, every one of us. A loving and giving God. And yeah, we love our stuff, but stuff can sometimes block our way. It can detour us away from God and from other people. Be the person that you were created to be. And in this precious moment of your life, may the GPS guide you back home to a loving God and a better life that is grounded in gratitude. Let us pray. Jesus, I want to thank you. I want to be like you. You who obeyed the Father without complaint. You who embraced the chains of humanity when you walked this earth. Convict me whenever I complain or compare myself with others. Give me your attitude of humility and thankful acceptance. I want to be like the Apostle Paul, who learned contentment in every circumstance. I want to choose continually to offer myself as a sacrifice of praise. May the fruit of my lips give praise to your name. I long to bring a smile to your face, God. Teach me the power of a thankful heart and be a grounded in gratitude person. I know that your truth dwells in a thankful heart. In your name we pray. Amen.